I recently went to see that Pixar movie that's out about, called Coco, which is about the Mexican observance of the Day of the Dead, which is like our All Saints Day, but it's far more elaborate in its celebration. Now, I'm not going to give you all the details of the movie, other than to note that one of the strands of the plot within the plot is our human desire to be remembered, to not be forgotten once our bodies die, to live on in some sense or another in other people's hearts. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. This is a natural desire. In fact, one of the promises of Christ our King we stand on is eternal life, which provides to us the blessed assurance that God will never, ever forget us. It seems to me that this concern about being forgotten must be one of the original purposes of epitaphs. You know, those sayings that are put on tombstones along with other details. To name some important piece of a person's history to succeeding generations. So out of curiosity, I went and Googled epitaphs. And of course, everything we see on the internet is true, right? Yeah, okay. So I Googled some, and here are some that I'm going to share with you from America and England. Here lies a man named Zeke, second fastest draw in Cripple Creek. Here lies the body of Margaret Bent. She kicked up her heels, and away she went. I had one about an attorney, but I decided it would be kind of discriminatory to share that, so I'm going to hold that one back. He got a fishbone in his throat, and then he sang an angel note. Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go. Here lies Johnny Yeast, pardon me for not rising. Okay, now here's my favorite. Here lies Pa. Pa liked women. Ma caught Pa with two, swimming. Here lies Pa. So what's going to be carved on your tombstone? Do you ever think about that? What one-liner would sum you up? Who are you? Now, God's actually providing us with plenty of one-liners in this text today, speaking through the mouth of Isaiah to us. I have called you by name. You are mine. Or further things that we might be able to say about ourselves from this text, we are those who are created by God, formed by God, redeemed by God, called by name, possessed by God, companions of God, ransomed by God. We are precious, honored, loved, gathered together. Who are you? I have called you by name. You are mine. Who are you? I'm a child of God. That's the first question and answer in our most recent catechism. What more do we need to say than that? Who are you? I am a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? That I belong to God who loves me. Baptism is the way that we show each other that we do belong to God. And the gospel lesson from Mark today was about the baptism of Jesus, and part of that showed up in our call to worship. And it reminds us that Jesus steps down into the River Jordan to be baptized there by his cousin John as a sign that Jesus belongs to God. Not that Jesus needs to be baptized for repentance of sins, right? But as a sign that he belongs to God. When we are baptized, that water that's either poured or dabbed on our heads is also the sign that you and I belong to God, and therefore to the whole family of Christians that are around the world. I've always liked the way Jean Fogel helps us think about this. She says, sometimes when there's something important that belongs to us, we like to tell others all about it, right? This is my Bible. This is my home. This is my garden. These are my companions. This is my bicycle. The baptism is about belonging. When we are baptized, God gives us a very special gift to help us grow and learn and love the Holy Spirit, God at work deep within us. Baptism is a sign that tells you and I that we belong to God. Now, it so happens that many of us here can't remember our baptisms because our parents had us baptized when we were quite little. And that water of baptism soon dries. But if our parents follow through on the promises that they make on that particular day, a dry head does not matter because our parents complete their promises to God to raise us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The most solemn commitment that any of us can ever make on behalf of another person. To do whatever it takes to lead some precious child to know and love Jesus for her or himself. Because in fact, God has called us by name. And we belong to God. Now, baptism is our first and it's our primary ordination to a life of Christian growth and living. And as we grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head of the body, we begin to take on the luster and the sheen, the glow of those waters that have long since dried. As we live into our baptism, those waters become more and more apparent to others. They shimmer. They shimmer around us. And as a consequence, we are often called by the voice of our congregation to express our gifts then in particular leadership in the church. Today is one of those moments when we affirm people's gifts, the gifts that God gave them at birth, as we ordain and or install folks as deacons and elders to lead us in these coming years. It's a day for you and I to remember our own baptisms and to be thankful. Who are you? I'm a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? That I belong to God who loves me. How do we love God? By worshiping God, by loving others, and by respecting what God has created. And so as we come now to our time of welcoming our sisters and brothers to their ministries through the faithful response of prayers and the laying on of hands, I invite you to ask yourself one more time, who are you? What will summarize your life? So come to the waters today, my friends. Recommit yourselves in this new year to the one who loves you your whole life long. Thanks be to God. Amen.